No. Okay. Okay, we're learning.
Nissan, who has Nissan?
Nissan is Tishrei. Okay, we're learning about extinguishing the fire. To finish up over here, go to the next. Go to the next malacha of kindling. Anyway, halachically, you're not allowed to open a window where there's a wind blowing that's going to put out the candles. And if it's for sure going to happen, even though your intention is not that it should put out the candles, nevertheless, it's called psikadesha, like we learned. And then you're not allowed to open a window if there's a strong possibility that the candles are going to go out. Now, if somebody is carrying a table that has a lit candle on it, B'chlal, there's a whole issue with carrying a candelabra or a table that has a candelabra on it that's lit, to carry it on Shabbos. Even if it's not a base for muksan, that's not for now. But let's say you would be allowed to carry the table. The problem is that when you carry a candle, a lot of times the candle flickers. It's more problem, by the way, not by candles, more problem by oil and kerosene. Because then the movement brings the oil closer to the flame or further away from the flame. It could be a shot of kindling or extinguishing. So just people have to be very careful. You don't carry the customer, you don't carry anything while the candles are burning. Next thing is like this. You're not allowed to, we learned yesterday, you're not allowed to lower a gas. What? You're not allowed to lower, one second. You're not allowed to lower a gas range because again, you're extinguishing the fire. Even if you don't put it out, but you're just lowering it is also extinguishing a flame. Now, what happens if, let's say you had your stove on, your stove is a regular gas stove, okay? Now, you had the fire on, and then the fire went out. The fire went out for whatever reason, but it went out. Now, are you allowed to close the gas under the fire? So the thing is, you're allowed to close the gas regularly with your hand because you're not doing anything. You're just closing gas. You're closing the faucet. That's all you're doing. But if you have the electric ignition, sometimes when you turn it on, it click, 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 it creates a spark. And then when you close it, it will create a spark. Tick, 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 you know, it might create a spark. So then the halacha is that you have to do it with a shinui, meaning not just playing with your hand, with your elbow, whatever, not directly to close the flame. Why are you allowed to? Because a gas leak, halachically, as everybody, not halacha, a gas leak can be a day, it can explode out. So therefore, because it's hakana, the chum allowed you to turn it off with a shinui, even though it's going to be click, click, click of the igniter. Okay, next malacha, tomorrow. Next malacha is what's called mavir, kindling the flame, which is mamish the opposite of extinguishing the flame. What?
Since we're still on the topic of fire, can you explain why on Yom Tov you can't turn off the fire or diminish?
We're not learning the halachas of Yom Tov. Now, it's a very complex issue. The heter is only if you're going to burn the food and you won't have anything else to eat. That's basically the heter. What?
You mentioned candles on the table. After the candles extinguished, I was surprised to hear somebody playing. You're allowed to move a lighter if it's extinguished. I want to. You mentioned a lighter that lit the flame.
Okay. The candle holder that the flame went out. While it's on, you're flickering it. So that you come. Even after the flame went out, you're not allowed to move the candlestick. Unless certain conditions are met. But let me explain why you're not allowed to move the candlestick. What's muktzah is the flame. The din is, once something is muktzah, when Shabbos begins, it remains muktzah the entire Shabbos. That's the halacha. If bein hashmoshes, mean between shkia and nightfall, it was muktzah, it remains muktzah the entire Shabbos. Now, the flame is mukta. The candle holder is what's called in Hebrew basis. It's a base of the mukta. Something which is a base of the mukta is as mukta as the mukta thing that it's a base for. Not only is a base mukta, but a base of a base of a base. Meaning, if I have a candle holder, if this is a candlestick, and I have it on a tray, okay, and the tray is on the table, I can't move the table either. Because the table is still a base of that flame, which when Shabbos began was mukta, and therefore it remains mukta the entire Shabbos. How would I be allowed to carry the candle holder? So let's first talk about the table. We learned this already, we discussed it, we're learning the din of Lichbenshin. Everybody is aware that the old Yiddish tradition is before the woman benches licht, before she lights Shabbos candles, she puts challah on the table. That's the old Yiddish tradition that they put challah on the table. Why do you put challah on the table? What's the purpose of it? Make yourself at home. Take a seat.
I want to listen to
you. You can listen.
I want to record your voice.
You can listen from there. Now, there's a din in halacha. If something is a base for mukta and non-mukta, and the non-mukta is more valuable to you now than the mukta, so then you're allowed to move the base. Okay? It's not a financial issue. On Shabbos, the challah is more precious, valuable to me than the flame. Okay? So now the table became a base for challah, or a sefer, and non-mukta. Therefore, halachically, if there's challah on the table or a sefer on the table, or any non-mukta item that's valuable to me over Shabbos, okay, is there when Shabbos began, when the candles go out, so no problem anymore of extinguishing, kindling, whatever, I'm allowed to carry the table. Okay? Certain people are lenient. So let's say this is the tray for okay, the candle holder. So I have the leichter, the candle holder, and the tray. Now, would I be able to put a siddur on the tray, okay, before I bench licht, that then, when the candles go out, I can just pick up the tray and move the tray. I don't have to move the table. What's the simple scenario of that? Friday night, I have two people, so I put the candles on the table. Shabbos day, I'm going to have a lot of people. I need this place where the candle tray is. Now, normally, I just can't pick it up and move it because it's a base for mukta. Okay? So, if I want, some people are mekel, that if you put a challah on the tray, a siddur on the tray, so then you're allowed to move the tray after the candles are out, just take the whole thing off the table. The Alter Rebbe is machmir, is very clearly machmir from the Alter Rebbe, that on a tray it doesn't work. Why not? Because the tray is not made to put the challah on. The table, the challah is made to put on. You know, putting a challah on a tray, you don't put a challah on a tray. So therefore, it's not really called the base of the non-mukta and mukta. That is, but to pick up the tray of the candles or the candle holder itself and put away on Shabbos, there is nobody that keeps Torah up that holds it, you're allowed to do it.
You can ask a goy to do it?
You can ask a goy to do it.
Why?
Can you ask your girlfriend to do it?
It depends if she's Jewish or not.
So just to clarify, you have a tray on a leichter, or to the opposite of it, even a siddur, the leichter.
You can't move the tray.
How much more so, according to all days, the leichter itself, even after the flame extinguishes, there's no possible.
There's no way in the world you're allowed to move it. Yeah. Unless if there's a somebody's dying and you need it to whatever.
There's like no excuse that I need to stop.
No. This is complete mukta that you can't move it for any reason whatsoever.
I knew I was right.
So if you have a sefer or challah on the basis,
not on the tray, on the table, then you can move the table. Okay, so what's the av melacha? In the Mishkan, they used to cook the dyes They used to cook things in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the source of the melacha of mavir, which is kindling, the opposite of extinguishing. Now, basically, mavir doesn't only mean creating a fire, it means extending a fire. Making a fire bigger is also the melacha of creating a fire. Now, for instance, you can't create a fire on Shabbos. You can't create a fire on Yom Tov either, by the way.
What is Yom Tov?
When you do Berachat Kohanim. So you can't create a fire. But Moshe, striking a match, for sure you can't do on Shabbos. You can't even extend a fire on Shabbos. Not Yom Tov, you could. Like you can't take from a fire that's burning on Shabbos and strike a match. From a pre-existing Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to extend the fire. You cannot make a new fire.
Why can't you make a new fire?
Because that's the melacha of Mavir, and it's only allowed the Tzarech Eichel Nefesh to extend the fire, not to create a fire. Now, therefore, let's say you can't sparks on a flintstone, okay, causing something to explode or whatever. Any type of fire that you create is no good. Same thing, they used to do this. They still do it. If the sun is shining very brightly, and you take a strong magnifying glass, and you put it on the ground, you can very much light a piece of paper from it, or a straw, something that's easy to catch on fire. So that you can't do either, even though you're just holding magnifying glass there, and the sun is really doing it, you're just holding the magnifying glass there, you still can't because you're still creating the fire. Your action is creating the fire. And Shabbos, you can't even light from a pre-existing flame. Because again, it's not only Shabbos, you're not allowed to only not create a fire, you're not allowed to extend the fire. Now, if somebody heats a piece of metal that it gets red hot, let's say you take, there's a fire burning, and you take a piece of metal, so you have a fireplace on, you take a piece of metal and throw it into the fireplace,
yeah.
And after a while, the metal is going to turn red hot. That is a malacha of kindling the fire. So that would also be biblically forbidden. Now, the other day we started hearing talks more about electricity. You're still not allowed to because you might be changing the fire a little bit by putting in the stones.
You're changing the fire? Or yeah. Making the fire.
You're making it either bigger or smaller, one of the two.
Have I ever put a lawnmower in
there? Then you're allowed to. Now, electric lights. They used to have incandescent bulbs that would have actually a flame in it. So everybody says it's also because of electricity. Even if it doesn't have a fire like fluorescent bulbs or LED bulbs, we started talking about this yesterday, but here it goes into more details. So then you still can do it. Even if it might not become red hot, but number one, it's still considered creating a heats up. It still heats up during use, which is considered creating a fire. In addition to that, we were discussing yesterday, and it's going to be more and more involved when we get into these details, and that is part of the issue of electricity. What's the issue of electricity? A lot of poskim don't really know. Everybody, like we said yesterday, everybody says you're not allowed to use electricity on Shabbos. The question is, what is the problem with electricity? Some poskim say it's like creating a fire, mavir. Some poskim say it's the melacha of boina. You're closing a circuit. So when you turn on the switch, you're closing the circuit. So you boina, you're creating a circuit. When you turn off the switch, you're separating the circuit. You're extinguishing. So, you're creating and demolishing. So it's not the melacha of fire, according to certain opinions. But again, you know, if you have, let's say, the lights that have a dimmer, you know, you make the fire bigger, the electric lights, bigger or smaller, you're still extinguishing or creating a fire.
What's your opinion on the Shabbos lights where you're covering it only?
There's nothing, why should that be a problem?
No, I'm asking if there are any
There's no concern.
Moving in.
First of all, if electric light, an electric clock. Let's say you have an alarm clock, yeah? Next to your bed. And it's facing this direction. And you want to move it to see the time. Are you allowed to move an electric clock on Shabbos to look at it?
I certainly hope so.
Let me tell you something. Like they say, if you want to go for the weather, you go to paradise. You want to go for the company, you go to the other place. That's where most people will be. Yes, you're allowed to move it. Even though electrical appliances are called muktzah, but the muktzah of electrical appliances is what's called keli shemalachti le'isid, a vessel whose primary use is for something forbidden. And therefore, that muktzah is not completely muktzah. You're allowed to move it if you need the place that it's on, or you want to use it for something permissible. I.e., a hammer is made for construction, which is forbidden on Shabbos. Therefore, a hammer is a keli shemalachta le'iser. A vessel whose primary use is for something forbidden. The primary use of a hammer is to knock in nails, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Now, what happens if somebody, by mistake, left the hammer on the table, and they realize they need the space for Shabbos, so I have to set the table, whatever. So, halachically, you can pick up the hammer and put it away. Okay? It's called tzarech mekaymeh. You need the place, you're allowed to move the hammer. Oh. Another way you're allowed to move it, what happens if I want to crack open a coconut? Now, you're allowed to crack open a coconut on Shabbos. So I want to use a hammer and a screwdriver to crack open a coconut, so I'm allowed to do that also. To be continued.
What about you on all day?
It's better.